is it well with your soul? Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. God, we cannot express our gratitude enough to how good you are, to how much you love us. God, you are amazing. You are an amazing God, and we lift up your name. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection power. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for never turning us away. Thank you for always waiting with arms wide open. God, thank you for making it well with our soul. God, thank you for making a way for us to connect to you. God, be with us the remainder of the service. God, I pray that you would just allow us to know that we can walk in authority that you have given us. God, encourage us today. Lift us up. And Father, right now we pray for the little ones that are going to be going to Sunday school. God, I pray that your hand would be upon them. God, open their ears, open their minds to what you have for them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that they would sit still and be able to be focused fully on you and your goodness. God, touch them. God, we pray for Stacy as she leads Sunday school this morning. God, allow her to have patience and guide her on what to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. The kids can go with Stacy. Thanks, guys, for leading us this morning. Like the longest piano key ever. Just kept going and your hands weren't touching it. I was like, wow, that's just, it's a miracle. It's just happening. Well, who enjoyed the second summer? Isn't it? And Nathan. It's been really nice though, hasn't it? It's been beautiful. We got moved into our place. I was telling some of you guys earlier today that after filling the cistern up to as full as we can get it, it decided to try to release some water through the sides of it into our house, but that's okay. We got the leak dried up, or we got the floor dried up, and we got the water level below the leak, so now we're back to one bath a day for the kids, or one shower every 2 days, I guess. Not the three baths a day. Let's just use water. Let's wash as many clothes as we can. Now it's okay. You can wear that a third time. It's still clean. Turn it inside out. So we're going to talk about miracles. And no, we're not going to talk about miracles like, oh, the Riders made it into the playoffs. They got a home playoff game. It's a miracle. That's not a miracle. The word miracle is losing a little bit of its power, I think, nowadays. And some people would say, and I trust that we're in this room would say that we believe and have a miracle working God. Would you believe that today? Our God is a good God, and our God does miracles, doesn't he? But now some of us and some people say they believe that, and maybe not us in this room, but some believers believe, yeah, we serve a miracle working God, but he's not going to do it for me. You know, it's just little old me. Why would he do it for me? Well, I want to tell you this morning, our God is a miracle-working God, and he wants to move miracles in all of our life. Not just a couple of us, but all of us, all of those who believe and have a relationship with him, he wants to do miracles for. The word miracle is used wrong. Like I said, with the Riders hosting a playoff game, it's a miracle. That's wrong context, isn't it? How about those of you that have said, Well, I was shopping, going to Costco yesterday, and I pulled into the parking lot, and it's a miracle. A parking spot just opened up for me, right by the doors. I didn't have to push that big cart all the way with my supersized things of cereal. I have 6 boxes of Fruit Loops, and they're the size of a Volkswagen, each of them. It's a miracle. That's not a miracle. What happened was a woman just paid for her groceries and walked out to the car just at the same time. You got lucky, at best. Right? No luck. So what is a miracle? A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on something on earth for us. It's when the all-powerful, all-knowing God reaches down from heaven and does something for us. Does something, intervenes, changes something. If you were to say, I pulled into Costco, into the Costco parking lot, the parking lot was full. And all of a sudden, all the cars parted ways, and there was a spot there, and I watched them part ways. Okay, that's a miracle. Right? It's a little different. How many of you would say in your life today, or maybe you can see coming up, that you would like to see God intervene in something? So you want to see God intervene on something in your behalf. Maybe somebody that you love, you want to see God intervene on their life. Is there any of us there today that want to see that? So we're going to talk about miracles. 4 types of miracles. There's a miracle of healing. There's a miracle of protection. A miracle of provision. And the miracle of deliverance, and that's probably the least talked about miracle. So when God does miracles over the forces of darkness, over the forces of evil, his power over demonic forces, and that's what we're going to talk a bit about today. So it was once said, and maybe you've heard this saying before, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was what? Convincing the world he didn't exist. How many of you have heard that saying before? It's a common saying. One of the greatest lies that our spiritual enemy tells us is that he is not a force fighting against the kingdom of God. That he is not fighting against the kingdom of truth. And I want to look at scripture to build a foundation today from what Paul says in Ephesians 6:12. And it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." See, guys, despite what we want to think, when we become Christians, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. We're not in this Christianity playground. Christianity is a battleground, and we're doing battle all the time. And that battleground is not in the natural world. It's not stuff we see all the time. It's a spiritual battle. Right? And Paul tells us this clearly when he says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood." In other words, what? Your boss that's annoying you? He's not your enemy. Your mother-in-law is not your enemy. Don't turn around. Oh, that got me. That's distracting me now. The person who argues with you on Facebook or at the grocery store or at the post office, they're not your enemy. Okay? They're not your real enemy. Scripture says that we have a spiritual enemy. And they're not flesh and blood. But we battle against evil rulers, against authorities of an unseen world. We're doing battle against the forces of darkness, against demonic forces. So what is a demon? A lot of people believe that a demon is what? It's the spirit of the dead is what you hear a lot of, right? And they're like, "Oh, my Uncle Stan, you know, he's kind of a jerk. He's dead now, but he's definitely a demon." No! Your uncle is not a demon. Demons are not spirits of the dead. Isaiah 14, we see it says, "You see Lucifer, which is another name for the devil." And Lucifer makes five I will statements in Isaiah 14. And let's summarize those right now for you. It says, I will be like God. I will ascend to the highest place. And five different times he says, I will be like God. But what does God tell us? What does God say? God says this. He says, there is no one like me. God says, there is no one like me. And so God cast Lucifer out. Lucifer was created by God to be a worshiping creature who becomes competitive with God, who wants to become the man, for lack of better terms. He wants to be the man. So Lucifer gets kicked out of heaven. And Lucifer takes with him a third of the angels, according to Isaiah 14 and Revelation 12. So most Bible scholars would say that demons are fallen angels that have left heaven with Lucifer when he got cast out by God. So what do we know about demons? We know that there's one devil and there's many demons, right? If he took a third of the angels with him, we know there's many demons. So what an angel is to God, demons are to the devil. And demons do the spiritual work of our spiritual enemy. Do the work of our spiritual enemy in the dark realms. They're trying to take people away from God. So two of the biggest mistakes we make about demons are what? There we go. In some churches, we overemphasize demonic influence. In other words, there's a demon under every rock. My phone just fell off my dresser. The devil knocked it off. I shouldn't have ate that cake. Darn you, devil. No, you need some willpower, some self-control. I'm broke. Stupid devil's taking all my money. No, you're broke because you went on a big shopping spree. You bought a brand new car that you can't afford. You have to have the latest iPhone. You have a new computer. You have this and all this stuff that you're living out of your means. The devil's not taking your money. You can't make a good choice. You can't blame every problem on the devil. You can't. You can't. We make decisions. Now, contrary to what some people also do, some people, they underemphasize demonic influence. So in other words, while not every problem is caused by the devil, more often than not, more problems that we faced and more problems than we would like to realize are caused by forces of darkness. So what do demons do? Demons tempt you to sin. So Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. And he was talking about a group of people and he says this. And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. See, the devil tries to set up some tempting traps for believers, to take them away from God. And he says they'll escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. So what will the demons do in some form or fashion? They'll communicate with you. They'll influence you. They'll convince you of their lies. They'll whisper to you, go ahead. You deserve it. Touch it. Watch it. Smoke it is the new thing now. Drink it. Go ahead. It's good. Take it. You deserve it. You earned it. Come on. No, it's good. Whatever it is, and they'll minimize it, right? Like, don't worry about it. Everybody's doing it. Just do it. It's legal now to smoke that. You're good. Don't worry. No, it's because it's legal. You can do it, right? Don't worry about it. It's just small. It's your life. You're not hurting anybody, right? And then when you do the sin, what happens? Then they maximize it. What did you do? God will never love you. God can never use you. You've ruined your life. You've ruined this. And in some form or fashion, they communicate and tempt you to believe these devil's traps that he's laid out. And demons try to take you away from serving God. Because when you hear these, when you go from minimizing to maximize, all of a sudden you're ashamed. Right? How are we on number two already? Number two is demons distract you from God's will. They distract you from the will of God. So 1 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit clearly states or says that in later times some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So there was a time when maybe you know people that walked with God and they were close and they were trying to really walk on this good path. And then, you know, one way or another, they got led away to something. And, you know, they follow this popular idea nowadays that all roads lead to God, right? It's all the same God. It's just we call them different names. It's all the same. You know, let's take a little Buddhism because they're all the same. And let's just roll them all up. Let's take a little New Age and let's take a little Christianity because that's what we grew up knowing. And there's some witchcraft stuff here. Let's roll that in here and there's a little bit of the Quran that makes sense. So let's roll it all here because, you know, in the end, it's all the same God, right? No. It's not. It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Some of the influences we hear. And suddenly, someone who had a pure faith at one time, they're distracted and walking outside of the will of God. They're outside of walking with the plans and desires that God has to know them fully, for them to be engaged with them. Oh, you don't need to go to church. Make your own path. Make your own church at home. And demons distract us from the will of God. The third thing that demons do, now we're slow, there we go, is demons inflict suffering. And Matthew 17:15 tells us this story. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into fire or into the water. Jesus said, bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. So what Jesus does here is a miracle, right? It's a miracle over darkness. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And the boy was healed at that moment. That's an awful snap. Sorry. I can't snap like a man. Or a good, strong woman with a good snap. Let's just fix that. I'm just going to keep going. So Jesus does this miracle and he rebukes this demon. The demon was inflicting suffering. It was hurting this boy, was it not? That's what we read in Scripture. And miraculously, that boy was delivered from his suffering, just like that. So what do we know about Jesus and why he came then? We know that Jesus came to give what? To give life, right? And to give it a life more abundantly than we could ever know without him. We know that Jesus came to set the captives free. We know that Jesus did not come to serve, but to be served. He gave his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for us, did he not? In a servant way. And we know that Jesus came for the healthy. No, he came for the sick. Jesus did not come for those that were saying, I'm righteous, the self-proclaimed righteous. He came for the sinners, that's right. He came to set us free. So we don't have to live in bondage. So we don't have to live captive. He came to set us free. So likewise, Satan has some missions, some goals, some objectives. And we read in John 10, his mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what the prince of darkness is all about. Destruction, destroying us, destroying families. So what does he want to do? Satan wants to try to inflict injury or pain. Maybe influence on depression or attitude. Maybe influence suicidal thoughts. Maybe influence feelings of desperation and despair. Destroying marriages, ruining testimonies. Wreaking havoc on your finances. Stealing your joy. Obliterate your health. Demons want to crush us. And you know what is the worst part is that more than just us, they want to go after our kids and our families. Demons want to crush our children. Guys, this is not a game. This is not a playground. This is a battlefield. We are in battle. Each and every day is a battle. It's not the little guy with red horns and the pitchfork and like you see on the Flintstones on the one shoulder. This is the forces of darkness that hate God. Everything to do with his kingdom, they hate. And his mission, Satan's mission, through everything that he does, every command he's given his demonic spirits, is to hurt what matters to the heart of God. Because he wants to overthrow God. He wants God gone. And nothing matters more to the heart of God than you, than all of us. Nothing matters more to the heart of God than us. So what do? What do we do? We need to recognize we're in a spiritual battle. We need to be cognizant of it. We need to understand that we are in a battle. Every day, we are in a battle. But guys, I say that not to say we need to be fearful of this battle. Do we need to be on guard? Yes, but we don't need to fear. And let me give you one thought, the big thought for the day. For those of you that are in Christ, if you are in Christ, you have miraculous authority over darkness in the name of Jesus. As we fight in this battle, we need to understand that we're not fighting out of our own power. But we are fighting with the power and authority of Christ. Aren't we? Matthew 10:1 tells us how to tap in that power, doesn't it? Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. Let's read that again. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, demonic spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. Okay, great. I got to read this again. Sorry. Bear with me a second. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, demonic spirits, and heal every disease and sickness. Do we hear that? I'm trying to emphasize something. Every sickness, every disease, we have authority to drive out in Jesus' name. So I want you guys to say something with me. What did Jesus give them? Let's say that like we believe it, though. What did Jesus give them? Authority, right? And authority to drive out impure spirits, demonic spirits, and heal every disease, every sickness, period. Jesus gave them authority to use his power. So imagine for a moment with me, okay? Imagine I'm a police officer. I'm an RCMP officer. And I don't know what Nathan calls his big rig that he hauls grain with. Is it an 18-wheeler? Is it a semi? Is it a grain truck? Humor me. What is it called? Okay, so I'm an RCMP officer. And I see Nathan speeding down the road in his grain semi. Let's just call it a semi. That sounds stupid when I say grain semi. And Nathan's driving down the road in a semi filled with grain. And I know he's speeding, right? Imagine me going out in the middle of the road and standing in front of him in his big semi coming my way, and I tell the truck to stop. Do I have the physical power to tell that truck to stop? All I'm going to be is a skid mark on that road. I'm going to be roadkill. I'm going to look like those deer out there, right? I have no power to stop it. But what do I have? I have the authority to stop him. I have that little badge that says, I have authority. If Nathan is coming and I'm an RCMP officer, I can say stop. And even though I don't have the power to stop that truck, I have the authority because I have a higher power that he has to answer to. Right? He needs to answer to that power, that authority. And even though in my own life, I don't have the power to defeat darkness, Dave can't defeat darkness. None of us can defeat darkness on our own. But I have authority to declare the name of Jesus above every other name, the name that has power over all darkness, over all evil, to say, get out of here. If you are in Jesus, you have authority over darkness, right? We're not fighting with our power. We're fighting with Jesus' power. We're fighting with Christ's power. We have authority. God is a miraculous God who gives you authority over darkness. If you're in Christ, what I hope you'll understand is that you have authority in the name of Jesus. Who do we serve? A miraculous working God gives you authority. But let's be honest, right? Let's be honest for a second. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that when things are going on. Like, we're just trying to get through the day sometimes. Like, I got to pay the bills. I got to get dishes done. I got to get to work. I got to deal with things there. I got to do this. You know, I got to run the kids here. I got to, you know, dealing with the kids is like herding cats. It's impossible. And I'm just trying to get through the day. And what I often don't recognize is that there's forces of darkness that's trying to inflict division between me and my wife, between my family, between me and my friends, between us here as a church family. And we don't recognize the spiritual opposition often. So there's two things that we need not to assume. First of all, don't assume that every problem we have is a result of demonic influence. Sometimes you just did something wrong. We're in a painful and sinful world, and not every problem is a result of a demonic influence. But at the same time, we cannot assume that every problem is not. Anytime you have a problem, you have a battle, you have a temptation, you have a sickness, you have division, you have any problem at all, the list goes on. What I want to encourage you all to do is to do what is natural. Do what is wise and pray for a supernatural intervention in that problem. To our miracle-working, intervening God who wants to reach out and intervene on our behalf. Every problem. So what happened when Jesus rose from the dead? He defeated darkness, did he not? Darkness was defeated when he rose from the dead. You have authority over the darkness in Jesus' name, right? So what is darkness? Darkness is not the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. But who is Jesus? He's the light of the world, is he not? Jesus is the light of the world. And where does Jesus dwell? He dwells in me. And John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Anytime there's a spiritual darkness, you walk in. What walks in with you? The light. When you walk in, what walks in with you? The light. Because Jesus is with you. Right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist against what? The enemy. so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be able to stand firm. Ephesians 6:12. If you are in Christ, you have authority over darkness in the name of Jesus. Take that authority. Speak it verbally. Can you say it with me? I'm taking back authority. I'm taking back authority. Take that authority and go. Take authority over the forces of darkness trying to lead your kids away, trying to lead your grandkids away. Bind up every demonic force that is attacking your marriage. You do what is natural. You invoke the supernatural power of God. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the belt of truth, the shoes prepared with the gospel of the readiness of peace, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, church, after the battle, you will not be defeated. Who's greater? He that is in us or he that is in the world? He that is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Recognize where you're fighting from, guys. We're fighting from authority, right? We have heavenly authority. So when we're fighting from heavenly authority, we're not fighting for victory anymore. We're not fighting from a place of trying to earn victory. We're fighting from victory. We already have the victory. We need to take authority over darkness in Jesus' name. And remember, in all things, we are not fighting for the victory. We are fighting from victory. And there's a big difference. The battle has been won. The battle has been won. When Jesus rose from the dead, the battle has been won. Can you say that with me? The battle has been won. Do you believe the battle has been won? Then let's fight from victory. We are living in victory. I'm going to ask the team to come, and we're going to sing one more song. But we need to believe that we're fighting the battle from victory. It is won. It is finished. Satan has been defeated, has he not? Jesus is ruler. He rules our life. He rules everything we come in contact with. We're fighting from victory. Would you guys stand with me? God, we thank you. God, we thank you that because of the cross, we are fighting from a position of victory. God, we thank you that we don't have to walk in fear and cower over Satan's lies, Satan's deception, but we walk in authority that you have given us in Jesus' name. Father, we move forward in victory as a church. We will not cower, we will not bow, we will not stop. In Jesus' name, we will move forward. We will advance our position in this community in Jesus' name. We are not backing down in Jesus' name. Father, this is your town. We are pushing forward. We are not stopping. We are advancing each and every step because this is your community, God. We are yours. Father, right now, I pray for every marriage in this room. I pray for every person here that represents a child or grandchild. God, we pray that your hand would reach out upon them and touch them in a supernatural way. Father, we are coming for this and from the position of victory, and we thank you for that victory. God, we ask that you would lead us and guide us in all things. God, that you would give us the strategic moves if you have us to do anything, Father. But God, every step we take, everything we do is in under your marching orders, God. You are our general, you are our commander. So Father, right now we pray that we would stand, I pray that we would stand in the gap for our family. We would stand in the gap for our friends, God. We would stand in the gap for this community. And Father, we lift them up in prayer right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for a miracle over spiritual beings, spiritual forces in this town, God, that you would defeat them right now in Jesus' name, and that this town would be known for you. God, Rosetown would be Jesus' town. God, that you would bust down walls, that you would take back possession of this town. God, we praise you and thank you. Father God, we give you all glory and all praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing with us?
Peace. Bring it all to peace. The storms around.